Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. I am happy to be here today, and I am really happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our February 2026 Meeting of the Minds. I always love it when C.A. visits because we always have fun, along with a great discussion, and you are invited to be part of it. If you would like to be a part of it, we are live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. You can go to the 12radio.com chat room and just click chat. Well, go to 12radio.com, click chat. You'll be in the chat room. And then you can go from there to the YouTube link that is posted under my banner if you want to be in the YouTube chat room. Either way is great. We are available. And today I invite you to, you know, feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat. What I have found, because I'm not all that YouTube savvy, is that at the end of the show, the chat room goes away on YouTube. So, the Facebook chat stays up. So anyway, that doesn't work. But today, what I'm trying to say, we have two sets of eyes that can look at that chat room and watch it. And so we can be more in that. But we always have, you know, we have a great discussion. I'm going to set it up as usual, and then we'll go from there. It's always just a beginning topic that I start with, and then we never know where we're going to end up. So we may or may not have time for readings today. It depends on how the conversation goes. We just follow that flow, that intuition, and just keep it going, because that's obviously what needs to be said in the moment. We just let spirit guide. But if you would like a reading from us, both of us are on 12listen.com. You can find both of us there. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. If you would like to be notified of our specials, which is reduced rates on calls, chats, and other special occasions, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. This Thursday is the 12th of February. The 12th is our favorite day of the month. We call it 12 day, and we have randomized pricing throughout the day on calls and chats. Which is really fun because every advisor's price is different and the prices change all day. So it's fun. It's got a great energy. And there will also be special prices on time-based sessions, email-based services, and other services as well. I'll have a time-based session at a very, very reduced rate for the day. I will be online probably around 11 a.m. that day for the day with a quick break to retrieve Grace from the groomer. Somehow Grace's hairdo day and 12 day coincide quite often. I'm not sure how that happens, but it is kind of funny. But her groomer's only about 10 minutes away, so it's a really brief break. I'm back in about 30 minutes total, and I would love to talk to you. And I just want to say thanks again for being here today, and thank you for listening. However and whenever you do, there is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And just, you know, I invite you to take advantage. Just, you can download a show from, and I encourage you to listen to somebody you don't usually listen to. A lot of different voices, a lot of different passions, and it's all there for your support. So I do encourage you to check out the on-demand section at 12 Radio. I just want to say I'm speed talking. Wait a minute, I got to catch up with myself. There we go. I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today and for all that she does for us on 12 Radio. As you know, I am always glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me. She's a, you know, this once a month visit, I really do look forward to, because it's a great kind of shake up in the energy of the show, because I just teach. That's what I do every other week. And so we start with a little bit of a teaching part, and then we go from there. We just go from there, which it all ends up being teaching and instructive and fun. And if you're unfamiliar with CA, she is a 1-2 listen advisor, clairvoyant astrologer, animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the week ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 1-2 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she also streams live on YouTube. She has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. Our Meeting of the Minds, that's what we call this monthly show, is where we can just bring everything and anything to the table. Like I said, I start with a topic and we just go from there. So spirituality, mysticism is my passion, my cup of tea, but also feng shui. You know, CA, astrology, tarot, feng shui, everything's welcome. Stories about our families, our dogs, anything else, welcome. Because we just go with the flow and it ends up being a really great, fun time. And really, truly, we could talk for days. So I will have CA join me in just a few minutes. So I'm not sure exactly what to call the topic today. So I'm just gonna start talking. So I've talked about it before, just the productive, really productive and kind of transformative energy that I felt in January. Like it was like things just got done and it was inspiring and everything just kind of stayed clear. And I did what, you know, I did what I was supposed to do or what I was called to do when I, you know, what needed to be done in the moment, I guess is what I'm trying to say, fumbling around about that. And that was really cool. And it's continuing this month, you know, the productive, transformative energy. And it really feels like, it really feels transformative, you know, like moving into a next step, evolution-wise for me. And I can't really explain it exactly, but it's just been, it's been a period of like reviewing old rules and ways of doing things. And maybe not just reviewing, but recognizing, you know, patterns, what I do, what I always do, what I've always done, and looking at it from the standpoint of not just this is what I do, what I've always done, but is this really a benefit? You know, does this benefit me? Does this benefit what my intention is, which is to, you know, to be the inlet and outlet of grace and, you know, to be of service, or doesn't it? And it's kind of interesting when you kind of have your head open for that, things come up that you just don't even think of. But, you know, again, looking at those things, releasing what doesn't serve me any longer, expanding my consciousness, exploring new things, and really being conscious of how I talk to myself. And I talk to myself all the time, all the time. And how judgmental that inner talk is. Just really noticing that. You know, there's part of me that, you know, it's a conversation in my head between two people. I am a Gemini. My rising sign is Gemini. And, you know, there's one that's like a taskmaster. And there's the other part that goes, you know, leave me alone. Stop. But it's so interesting to pay attention to that because it goes on all the time. I think we're talking to ourselves all the time. At least I know I am. But back to when I'm in one of these phases, like an obvious transition phase, it never fails. Whatever I need, be it a new teacher or a new understanding of an old teacher, or simply the realization that I am different. And what do I do with this? it just, whatever I need to facilitate my growth, to get me through it, to help my understanding, to help my head to grow, so to speak, shows up. And this time, it is Don Miguel Ruiz, his book, The Four Agreements. Now, I think I'm kind of late to the party with The Four Agreements. I have never read it before, but I remember several years ago, 3-4 years ago, I was up in Grand Lake staying with my family, and my brother was sitting out on the deck, and he was reading The Four Agreements, which is very interesting to me. And I'd known about the book, I'd known about it, but, you know, I have my teachers that I've been involved with, so to speak, over the past several years, and one leads to another, and that had never come up before. So, you know, everyone that I mention it to, they go, oh yeah, and they rattle off what the four agreements are. I mean, it's happened several times, which kind of makes me laugh. But in reading the four agreements, the way I ended up getting it is I had some credits on Audible, and so I used one of my credits for it, and I started listening, and man, I mean, it just like literally my head exploded. And what it proved to me, as does every new teaching, every new teacher that I'm led to, is that all roads lead to Rome. Rome being non-dualism, that we are one with God, and all that God is, we are. Therefore, we are light, and we are inherently perfect, because we cannot be anything else. But, in order to realize that, we have to get past the lack, fear, limitation, and restriction of human consciousness. To realize that what we are, that to pass those restrictions and realize they are not truth, to realize the truth of our being. You know, you can call it the psychic sea or universal consciousness. It's what we navigate every day. Ruiz calls it the dream of the planet. But what it consists of is every thought, every emotion of everyone who has ever been here. Therefore, it is not truth. It is not truth. When we were born, our parents gave us the best they could. I believe that. I really do. And they gave us what their parents gave them. But their primary deal was to keep us safe and alive until we could do that for ourselves and also make us acceptable members of society, right? This is right. This is wrong. You do this. You don't do that. Don't show off. You know, don't be loud. Be quiet. Do, you know, be acceptable, basically. I think for the most part, at least I can only speak for myself. But we are born blank slates, right? We are fresh from the source. We are pure light, pure light. And Ruiz says that the minute we are born, our parents, relatives, and society begin to domesticate us with their rules and beliefs, which we accepted because we didn't know any different. We accepted them because, you know, the people that feed us and put us to bed at night, they must be right. You know, we didn't know any different. We're just these little sponges. We take on what we're given. So their beliefs became our beliefs. Good, bad, or indifferent. We can only live what we believe or what we have the consciousness for. You can't experience anything that you don't have the consciousness for and that you don't believe. So whatever is sitting in your lap, no matter if you vehemently deny that you brought it there and believe it, you have to believe it or it wouldn't be sitting in your lap. But Ruiz puts it a different way. He says that we live according to our agreements, that we can't experience anything that we don't agree with. And those agreements, like beliefs, evolve and change throughout our lives. You know, what we're told, again, what's good or bad, how we should act, where we should be when we're five, where we should be when we're 12, where we should be when we're 21, what we should do. You know, all of those things when we're in business, when we're in school, when we're in college, when we're parents, all of those things are agreements. And that word agreements kind of made my head explode, because to me, agreements and beliefs feel different. I don't think they're this. They don't feel like the same thing. But the more I thought about it, again, good, bad, or indifferent, nothing can occur in my experience that I don't agree to. It wouldn't be possible, would it? To agree with it. So, you know, in my education, we talked a lot about agreements between people. And I think there's agreements between everything, because to me, everything is kind of alive. I think we have an agreement between ourselves and our homes, our sanctuary, between ourselves and our pets. But different people in our families, we have different agreements with. And, you know, an agreement is a spirit-to-spirit agreement between, like, people or animals and people. But it can be 3 seconds long. Say somebody holds a door open for you to go in the grocery store. That's a brief period of time, but that's an agreement between the two of you. So this idea of agreements being what we accept as law, as truth, as rules, as guidelines to live our lives is a different animal. And I think it's really fascinating and it's really huge. And again, like I said, I don't think anything can happen in my experience that I don't agree to. But the question is, how much of what I agree to is based on childhood programming and our influences, which are prenatal, early childhood, education, and life experience, versus where I am now in this moment? So I think that's huge. And that's what I want to talk about with CA and just see how it unfolds. So welcome, CA. Thanks for joining me today. I'm really glad you're with me.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. And what a timely topic.
Oh,
and yeah. And in fact, what I want to share with you, and I hope it doesn't take too much time. Have you ever heard of somebody named, he has, basically he sends out a notice, or I'd say a little article once a month, and he calls it David at Raptitude.
Have you ever heard of that? I think I've heard of it. I'm not familiar with it, but that sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, I subscribe to it. And I will admit, his articles are a little bit long. So sometimes I'm reticent to send them to somebody. Because I think in this day and age, a lot of times, if we can't read it in 2 or 3 seconds, we're just going to dismiss it. Or we're going to say, oh, I'll go back to that later. And even when I see his stuff come in, sometimes I go, I will go back and read that later. But I almost always do. Because most of it, I'm not going to say it's new information, because there again, is there anything new under the sun?
No.
You know, but it's the way
voices.
He says it. Yeah, it's
just
the way
different
he says
voices.
It. So the one he sent yesterday, like I said, I just thought was particularly good. And I'm just going to kind of say a few things from it. But he starts out by saying that he has to give his cat medicine. And so he talks about this whole thing, and I go there with agreements or beliefs, because his belief is, I need to give this medicine to the cat for it to be okay. But the cat sees it as, he's torturing me again.
Right.
Right? He's torturing me. And why is he torturing me? Why is he trying to make me swallow this, or, you know, have these drops or whatever it is? And so he says he finally realized and I've never heard of this. Of course, I don't have a cat, but he said how a lot of people suggest that you take a towel and you wrap the cat in the towel so they can't scratch you while you're forcing this medicine down their throat. But, and I don't know if he thought about this on his own or what, but what he started doing is he would put a towel on the floor. And he would sequentially, or just every once in a while, he'd leave a treat on the towel. So that the cat would start associating the towel with a good thing, with the treat. And he said, but what's amazing is even though he sometimes now uses that towel and wraps the cat up so he can give the medicine, the cat still associates the towel with relatively a good thing. He said, if I have a, you know, he goes, if I have a towel on the floor, the cat will always be over there checking it out because of the possibility that there's going to be a treat along with the towel. So that's how he starts it. But what he talks about is just what our beliefs are, you know, and how sometimes those things get embedded. Just like with the cat, it's embedded that, hey, sometimes this means a treat. So then he goes on to this idea, and I love this phrase. He says, it's the job of a belief to look like reality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Oh, yeah.
And so then he kind of goes into this whole thing about, you know, we want things to be consistent. We want, I mean, you know, it's like even if something goes right against it and it just doesn't make any sense at all, we're going to believe it and we're going to continue to nurture and feed ourselves with ideas that are going to convince us we're right because we want to be right. You know, we want these things to be true. But just that idea, the job of a belief is to look like reality. So even if it's not, we're going to continue to believe it. But then he also talks about this idea that, but we're the exception to the rule in terms of everybody else is wrong. Everybody else is getting bad information or bad facts, but not us. And so he even talks about the idea, you know, I don't even know what the percentage is, but he says there's a certain percentage of currency, money at any given time that's actually counterfeit. He said, but I don't ever have counterfeit bills. You know, nobody ever thinks their money is counterfeit. Nobody is ever going to believe that, you know, they somehow got a bad 20 or a bad 100 or a bad dollar bill or whatever. So he talks about that same thing. And then we ask ourselves, why don't these other people figure this out? You know, I never have the counterfeit. I never have the counterfeit facts. You know, or the counterfeit beliefs. I always have the good stuff. So why can't these people figure this out? So he builds this whole story about how we naturally just have such an inside desire, urgency, whatever you want to call it, need for believing that we're exempt. So we're not going to get the counterfeit money. We're not going to get the counterfeit news. We're not going to get the counterfeit facts. And he said, but here I think is the simple habit of kind of changing that and just being maybe more realistic. As he said, you finish every sentence with maybe. So he says, like, for instance, here's some of his examples. That policy is exactly what we need. Maybe. If anyone who believes that is just an idiot, maybe. There's no good reason to vote for that person, maybe. And so he talks about that idea of just casting that little bit of doubt by keeping yourself open to maybe. And, you know, I've said it probably on this show too, that Chinese fable that is, you know, where everybody keeps deciding things and judging things. And each time the farmer says, well, maybe. Maybe that's true. And then some other information comes along and he says, maybe. And so, in fact, David at Raptitude, he may have even used that maybe story as his example. I mean, he didn't mention it. But just that, when I read this, it just made me laugh. Because just laughing at myself, because I too would go, well, I'm not, you know, I'm smart enough to not be taken in by that, you know. And it's like, maybe. But he talks about just in general, how much better we would all get along, how much better everything might feel in our lives if instead of taking these beliefs and seeing them as set in stone, we would just kind of have that word, maybe. Maybe that's the truth today, or maybe that's the way it works, or maybe not. And I like you, truthfully, I've never read the Four Agreements.
Oh.
I've heard of them many, many times, and I've even, you know, I've heard people mention them or whatever, but I have not read them. But I do believe that that's it. Whatever we believe is going to be true, we are going to filter out most everything else. So whether or not it can ever reach our consciousness is doubtful, you know? So anyway, so I mean, I guess that's where I would start with the conversation is it's hard. And I mean, and I'll tell you, it's really hard for me. And not that it's not hard for other people, but yeah, I don't want to be wrong. I just don't want to be wrong because, and this almost goes back into the astrology of what's going on, where we've got a lot of emphasis on Saturn right now. And it's important to us to make order of the world. You know, we've got to put the world into these four agreements or into these belief systems or into these categories. And it's frightening to think.
And we never can.
No,
it's not possible.
But see, we have to on some level. We have to because I can't get up every morning and go, yep, the world is just crazy. It's just totally chaotic. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. Yeah.
Psychologically, that is so hard to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's what I like is, and again, I'm sure I'm going to have several shows going forward about the four agreements. But what I want to say is, and this goes right along what you were saying from that article, you know, just like beliefs aren't true. Opinions aren't true. And our agreements are not truth. They're not. They're based on, you know, what a lot of times mainly fear, right? And how to be what we're supposed to be to make other people happy.
Yes.
Or, you know, and that goes back to, you know, perfection, which we cannot be. But how much pain do we cause ourselves trying to be perfect, you know?
Yes.
And anyway, we can change our agreements. And that's the whole idea. We can make the conscious choices, and here are the agreements, the four agreements.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're very, very simple, but there's a lot more to them. The first is be impeccable with your word. So basically, integrity, you know, don't talk about people, don't gossip, don't, you know, think about what you're saying, because your words really are alive, you know, and they have, it's karma. You know, nothing is just a thing. You know, your words go out from you and they affect you, they affect others, they have an effect. So be impeccable, being thoughtful about your word. The second is don't take anything personally. And I love that. Don't take anything personally because nothing's personal. Everybody who says anything to us is talking from their filters, their influences, their themselves. So it's never personal, ever. Even if they shake their finger at you and tell you you're, you know, whatever they think you are, that's them thinking through them, through their filters. Third, and this is really good, don't make assumptions. Don't make assumptions. Don't assume people are this way or that way, because that's been the history. Don't make assumptions. If you don't know, ask a question. Don't just assume things are a certain way. Ask questions. And then the fourth is always do your best. And I love it when he talks about always do your best, because he said, you know, always do your best, but your best is not always the same.
Right.
Because maybe you didn't get enough sleep. Maybe you're tired. So you do your best from where you are in the moment, which is really the Buddha's middle way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's the middle way. You know, if you can't do that, try to do this. You know, there's always a middle way. There's always an alternative. But I love it. Those are very, very simple. But there's a lot to them individually.
Yes.
But that don't make assumptions.
I can imagine.
That's judgment, right? Assumptions are judgments. So it's really cool. And what I like about it too is as I'm reading him or listening to it on Audible, here comes, you know, like U.S. Anderson or Joel Goldsmith or Alan Watts in my head, you know, because again, all roads lead to Rome, and it's just, it's a wonderful different voice, and it's, and he's just a lovely, lovely person. And the Fifth Agreement, there's another book called The Fifth Agreement. And what that is, it's just, it sounds cynical, but it's always be skeptical. Don't take anything as fact. Research it. Research. Listen. Yes. Listen and be kind, but don't take it as truth.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating stuff. It really is.
Well, it is. And, but to me, is what you said in the very beginning, that all roads lead to the same place. Whatever it is that we need to hear, that we're ready to hear, that we can hear, is right. What, if we're open, if we're willing, then it's going to come to us. So, mm-hmm. you know, that whole idea of the fear of missing out.
Oh,
when you think about that, what a delusion, you know, mm-hmm. you are going to be in the right place at the right time, even when you can point to so many different examples and go, no, I was not in the right place at the right time. I would argue though, that from that, once again, and you said this too, we are not physical bodies. That's not ultimately our essence. That's not who we are. So we have a vehicle that we call a human body. And of course, that's our consciousness. We'd be silly if we tried to act like those things weren't true, you know, uh-huh. or that gravity wasn't real, or that the cold wasn't real, or the heat wasn't real. We'd be silly if we did that, but we'd probably be happier if we could remember that it is a vehicle. It's something yeah. we're using. It's not us. And so despite the circumstances, we are in the right place at the right time. And we're not going to miss our destiny. That's one thing I am convinced of. We do not miss our destiny, regardless of what it looks like. You know, the soul isn't going to let you miss your destiny.
No.
Now, you know, could some things be easier? Of course they could be. Could you have learned a lesson easier? Yep. But you're not going to miss your destiny. And just so whatever comes to you, like right now, the Four Agreements has come to you and it's exciting and it's interesting and it's lit your fire, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what we do. But on the other hand, it's not going to be what lights your fire forever, because mm-hmm. on any given day, you may find something that's also very exciting. So you don't have to turn off the faucet. You don't have to stop the process, you know?
Oh, no, it just facilitates it. We keep evolving and we need food. We need to keep moving so that food for our growth comes to us in whatever way it comes. And it's a fascinating thing, you know, because we can't stop evolving. And I agree with you. You cannot miss your next step. You cannot miss it. And I've talked to people. It's like, oh, I should have done that. And I said, no, apparently you shouldn't have.
Right.
Or you would have. I mean, that's it. That's the thing I hear Wayne Dyer in my head when I just said that, you know, he said, yes. And your mother did love your sister best, you know, when he's giving a talk. But you know, you're where you are and whatever you think you missed or maybe something could have been an easier way, but that wouldn't have been growthful. You know, mm-hmm. we grow through adversity, period. We don't grow. If this were a skate in the park, what would we learn? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'd be bored silly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, this is it. It's life. Life shows up like it does. In fact, I saw a short on YouTube when I was listening to somebody, and it was Eckhart Tolle. And the title of it was, Life Isn't Supposed to Make You Happy. Just laughed. It's just life. It's just what you do with it makes you either happy or sad. You know, your perception makes it either happy or sad. Mm-hmm. But we're here to learn and grow and evolve. And the, and again, the goal is to realize who we are and realize that what we go through to learn and evolve are just lessons. You know, mm-hmm. they're just lessons. It's, we have rough times, we have good times, we have easy times, and we have really, really hard times. But all of them have made us who we are in this moment and contributed mm-hmm. to our evolution. And we just really, truly, if you think of it that way, you really can't call anything bad.
Right. Well, and in fact, now I'm spacing out the name of them and I can't believe them because I've read them over and over and over again. But anyway, they were books that were channeled in the 60s. And
oh, Seth?
It wasn't Seth.
Oh.
But I can't remember now.
Emmanuel? Like I said,
yes, I think it okay. was. Anyway, but one of the things, I mean, there were so many wonderful takeaways, but one of them that somehow I don't ever forget is where he's talking about, and you know, the woman that was channeling him, she would do some question and answer things. So you can mm-hmm. imagine this whole group of people and somebody basically says, so because he says this, he goes, so you're saying that you get busy and the kids need their lunches packed and you need to get them to school and you need to run the carpool and then you need to go to the dry cleaners and then you need to figure out dinner. And so you don't have time to meditate or you don't have time to be a spiritual being. And he said, so you're asking me, you know, does a spiritual being do, you know, do these things? And he goes, well, apparently they do. And that's exactly how he says it. Well, apparently they do. So, right. you know, the way he's seeing it is, okay, so what? You're still a spiritual being doing all of these things in your life. You're not spiritual because you're sitting down meditating.
Yeah.
And that yeah. was like a life changer to me, that it's not about being in church on Sunday or on Saturday. It's not about chanting with the group on Friday night. I mean, those mm-hmm. things are all wonderful, mm-hmm. but that's not when you're a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being all the time. And you're the spiritual being going to the store, going to the drugstore, picking up the prescription. You're the spiritual being no matter what you're doing. And like I said, when I saw that, and he goes, well, apparently they do. I just laughed. I laughed out loud. And it was like, oh my God. It was, I mean, it truly was a breakthrough for me. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I just like, wow, I've never forgotten it, even though I forget it in my daily life. You know, there yeah. are times oh, yeah. I get right. all wrapped up in stuff. But I just think about that. Yeah, we are those spiritual beings having a physical experience all the time. And mm-hmm. we don't have to get all upset. I mean, it's certainly nice when we can just stop and take a moment, when we can meditate or do whatever our spiritual discipline is, but we don't stop being those spiritual beings just because we're doing what looks like life.
Right, right. Well, and I think that, you know, keeping that in mind, it makes everything that we have to do a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, okay, now I have to, like, I personally speaking, I've got to go get an emissions test this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like in the past, it'd be like, oh God, no, I have to get an admissions
right.
test.
One well, more
how
thing.
Long is yeah. that going to take? You know, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, you know what? It'll take as long as it takes. And right. I can sit and wait. And it's not the end of the day. It's not the end of the world. It's not the, it's stupid. The, you know, it just, you realize the things that really lit you up, you know, mm-hmm. in a negative way. And you look at that mm-hmm. and go, wow, what a waste of energy.
Yes, yes.
When it's still got to be done. I mean, you still yeah. got to do it. So let's throw a big fit and get all emotional about it. No, how about if we just go do it?
Yep. Well, and I used to do that too. And of course, I have a 27-year-old car.
Oh,
which
I, know you do.
I did recently find out, though, because in fact, I just had my emissions done just like a month or so ago. And the person said, oh, these old cars, they never fail. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. She goes, it's the new ones that fail. And I said, well, mine has never failed. It's 27 years old and it has never failed. But here's another thing. You know, the DMV in Nevada is just as bad as any DMV, you know, as you can imagine. But what's really cool are these, they're not pop-ups, but there's these little places, and this is where I go. And I say little because it's like almost not even a permanent building. They will, for a charge, and it's not too much, like $30, they will do the emissions test and literally file your registration and pay it and everything. And so I have to pay the fees for the registration. Sure. But literally, I go over there, and usually I'm gone in 10 or 15 minutes. And They have, like I said, done the emissions, gotten on the computer and registered me with the DMV and given me my temporary tags. And I'm like, you know, and yes, I do have to pay, like I said, a charge. It's either 15 or 30. I can't remember.
It's worth
it. But I'm like, how easy is this?
That's fantastic.
I know. Yeah. And when I first found that out, I'm like, this is incredible. Why would I get onto the website, get an appointment with the DMV, which is going to be 2 or 3 months from now, because that's how long you have to wait. And then go over to the, you know, go get the emissions, then go over to the DMV and wait, even though you've got the appointment, you wait in line and you get processed and everything. I'm like, why doesn't everybody go to these little places?
Well, you know? They used to have, well, they still do have. And when I worked in Wheatridge, when I was at CBM in the mortgage business, I would drive, you know, I-25 to I-70 over to Kipling. And there is an emissions testing machine right there as you get on to I-70 from I-25.
Oh yeah.
So my renewal for my plates would always come and say no inspection needed. Because it was tested constantly.
Because you drove by there. Right.
Yeah, I drove by it. But I don't drive that way anymore. But the good thing is that once I go and get my emissions inspection and pass that, I can do it online. So I don't to go to DMV. I can do it all online, which is good. And I don't think I don't think Olive's going to fail. She's a 2014 and she's, you know, driven a couple times a week.
Yeah. Well, and I would say part of this was maybe the good thing about COVID, because my guess is like this place in Nevada, it probably started during COVID when people couldn't go to, you know, they were so limited in where they could go and when. But you know what? It were like having groceries delivered or anything else. It's like that's one thing in life that's convenient. And not everything is, but I can be thankful. Today, I can be thankful for that.
Well, I think that's a blessing. I think that's wonderful.
Oh my God.
I wish they had places like that here.
I know. When I first found out, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, you've got to be kidding me. Because life, it just seems like it gets more complicated instead of easier. You know, sometimes I just feel a little overwhelmed with all the complications.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Nope, I get it.
Or is that just my email inbox? I'm just like, oh my God. I need to hire somebody to just go through my emails and get rid of them, you know?
You know what you do, CA? You know what
you do?
If it's things that you don't want, I always I just block them.
Well, you know what? I do too, but I seem to keep getting them. And I don't know if it's because they rotate like every 2 or 3 months, they like get a new list or something. I don't know, but that's it. I'm just like delete, 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 delete. But you're right. I hit block, 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 block.
Or report spam.
Yeah, and then they come back with another name. That's the other thing I'm wondering.
Oh.
Is you block the email. But see, let's say that they've got 50 different addresses. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just switch over to another address.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm beginning to wonder, because I mean, every day I'm like, I blocked you, and they're still coming.
Yeah.
I guess I could see myself as being popular, but I don't. I'm just going, oh my God. You know?
No.
No, thank you. I don't need the insurance. I don't need this. I don't need that, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Amazon, when you order something on Amazon and it's like you order something like in my case last year, I ordered my planters, you know, that I put together. And so after you do that, it's like, well, based on your previous shopping, you may be interested in this, which is more planters, right? Right. I mean, it's more dirt, soil. that you're not going to go get because you've already got it. And hopefully it's a lifetime agreement here with those planters, but it's just kind of funny. I don't need that. I just got it.
I get those too. And I don't think I've ever bought one single thing that they've suggested.
No.
You know?
No, because you already did.
Right. You're right. I already have it. Thank you. You know, it's like, do you want to buy it again? No, I don't want to buy it again.
Not yet. Maybe never.
Yeah. But I guess it's just our life as it is now. And there again, but it's an attitude. I mean, sometimes I just go, you know, are you going to lose your peace of mind over an email from a bot? You know?
Yeah.
Really? An algorithm sends you an email and you're going to lose your peace of mind over it? And then I say no, but then I go, but I am going to lose my mind over 100 of them. You know? Then I go, okay.
I have a meter.
Just stop for right now. You can come back to this later.
I've hit my lose my mind meter total.
Yes.
And then I can do it.
Yeah, there's just so many I can do here.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Oh boy.
I get it.
But I think the four agreements, that's a really cool thing. And you know, the other cool thing is how there are so many wonderful, I'd say, ideas and books that have been around even for, you know, 200 years, some of them. And you rediscover them or you go, oh, I never read this. Like, I will admit, I like Shakespearean plays, but I don't like reading them. Mm-mm. But recently, I feel like all these things are coming up about Hamlet. Oh. And not just in movies. I mean, I think there's been several movies that have taken either the play of Hamlet or an idea out of Hamlet, and they've made them into movies. That's part of it. But it's even in podcasts I'm listening to that, by the way, some of these podcasts were recorded 10 or 15 years ago.
Huh.
I mean, they're Course in Miracles things that were recorded a long time ago. And he's talking about Hamlet. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's the deal with Hamlet? And so then I think, well, maybe I need to go read Hamlet, you know? And that sounds kind of silly. It's been around, obviously, for several hundred years. But it's like, maybe there's a reason this just keeps coming into my consciousness, you know? But it's always wonderful when you discover something that you know has been there forever. And you go, wow, you know, there's so many things in life yet to discover.
You know,
you'll never run out of interesting, exciting things to discover or read or study. There's just so much, you know.
Well,
and that's exciting. That's exciting.
It is exciting. And I think it's just, and that too is sort of, kind of goes back to dropping those old rules, you know, and the way you've always done something, and just having your head open, your head open for what drops into your lap. And you never know. I mean, you just never know. And I think if you are open, then, and when something does drop in, it's exactly like, you know, when the students are ready, the teacher appears. And that's absolutely true.
Right.
And we've never missed the boat once, as we were saying. We're in a different place, and now we can have it. Now we can have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that with books that I've read three or four times a few years ago and come back to it, and it's like I never read it because I can have it, quote unquote, have it where I am now in a whole different way. And it's like, wow, this is way better than I thought I remember.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, when you were saying the four agreements, and oh my gosh, I'm looking at the clock, I realize our time is like really sped by today. But anyway, in the four agreements, the very first one, be impeccable with your word. Well, I think I mentioned I've been reading a biography of Benjamin Franklin. And he has like 12 or 13, you know, characteristics or virtues that he really wanted to live up to. And that was basically one of them. He didn't say it like, be impeccable to your word, but it was about using his words carefully and never saying anything negative about anybody. It doesn't mean he didn't, but it was one of the things he wanted to live up to.
Now, wait, you beeped out for a minute. Who are you talking about?
Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
I lost you for a second. I didn't hear
I'm
that.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like, that's the other thing. You're not going to miss your destiny. You're not going to miss what you need to hear. It's going to come to you. So whether it comes to you through Benjamin Franklin or through the Four Agreements or however it comes through Kelly Whetstone's empowerment, you're going to hear what you need to hear and, you know, just relax into that.
Yeah. Just have it and see what happens. Just see, and be willing to entertain it. You know, not just read it, but just let it cook. Let it cook in your head.
Yes, that's a good idea. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, this has been fun, CA. Thank you so much for joining me today. And so 1-2 days coming up Thursday, are you going to be available? What do you have going
on? Yes, I am. I am going to be available. And it was funny when you first mentioned it, I go, oh my God, that's right. It's this week. Because I keep focusing on several weeks at a time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is the 12th. Yes, I will be available this Thursday. And, you know, I'm available a lot by appointment. So even when people don't see me as available on 1-2-Listen, you know, if you just, you know, ask for a scheduled call, many, many times I can accommodate it.
Great.
But I will be available on Thursday. Yes.
Good, good, good. Well, everyone, I will be available on Thursday too. Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My special guest is C.A. Brooks. And we are here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Thanks again for being with us. I wish you a very, very blessed week and a good day. Thanks. Bye-bye.